You're all very welcome to Trinity this morning, and anybody that is visiting with us this morning is also very welcome. Just a few announcements this morning. I want to say a big thank you to all that took part in the tractor run down in Clocky yesterday, and all those that helped to cook burgers and all the food as well. It went off well, and it was a much better day than what it is today. Tap is on this week, Wednesday night. You are all very welcome to come along. It's good to pray, and it's good to get together as a church to pray. It is the foundation of a church when we get together in corporate prayer. And don't be as I always say, don't be scared to come along. Don't be put off by coming along by other people maybe praying out loud and things. That's not why we're there. We're there to show God that we are in unity together and coming together to Him in prayer. So tap is on Wednesday night, 7:30, both in Grey Abbey and in Clocky. The Word for Today booklets are out in the festival. I do use these myself. They're a great resource. I use them first thing in the morning, and you can use them any time of the day you like. But there's a wee verse and a wee explanation of the verse for each day of the week. So if you do want to make use of them, they're called Word for Today. They're out there in the festival or in the welcome area as well. And for the younger ones, there's the Word for You as well. And they'll be out there as well. They are good resources, and they're a good way of just breaking you into the day as well. So please make use of them. Also tomorrow night, the Holiday Bible Club team are meeting. And anyone is welcome to come along. They will be doing preparation for craft, and if you just want to come along and help them to prepare for that, and maybe you can't come along to the actual club itself, Alex would be so grateful and really pleased to see you. So 7:30 in the coffee bar tomorrow night. If you are free, come on down, there'll always be something for you to do. It's good to get together once again in unity as a church to get behind the Holiday Bible Club as well. Okay, I think that's all the announcements this morning. Let us open God's Word this morning in Psalm 95. Let me share a few words from it. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands performed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Let us stand and let us sing this amazing hymn, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And I pray this morning, if you know the Lord, that your chains are gone, and you can sing this with heart and soul. And if you don't know the Lord, well, just listen to the words of this song. It's an amazing song, Amazing Grace. Let us stand and let us sing. Let us just bow our heads and let us come to God in prayer. Our Father, we offer this praise to you, which brings with it a joyful shout about your grace, Father God, your amazing grace. Father, you have there is a great joy of salvation, a great love of thanksgiving in the singing of this praise. Father, may we never be like those with Moses in the wilderness who complained and put you to the test. Even after they saw your glory in an unparalleled display, your word shows us to such a stark contrast between those who come to you in faith and those who refuse. For the faithful, there will be permanent hope, joy, and blessing. For the faithless, there is nothing to look forward to but hopelessness, judgment, and everlasting punishment. Hold us by your grace that we may be counted with the faithful. We thank you for your precious grace in saving us, Lord. You are both the source and the object of our highest joy. And we sing out to you because our hearts cannot contain the gladness of our salvation. And in exalting you, we are lifted even higher. You are our light and our salvation. You are our stronghold and sanctuary in whom we find refuge. You refresh our souls daily with joys we can neither fathom nor fully count. We confess, however, with deep sadness that we are rebellious by nature. So we do not always serve you as we should. And we want to bask in the fullness of your joy and find our deepest delight in the sunshine of your glory. Yet we are prone to wander. We are too easily tempted. We are weak and worldly and wrong-hearted creatures. And we are in debt to your mercy and in desperate need of your grace. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive. We are prompted from hearts transformed at our salvation to run to you and to embrace you with glad surrender. Help us, Lord, to be earnest and honest in self-explanation. And in that exercise, may your spirit testify together with our spirit that we are true children of your heavenly Father, born again to a living hope. Grant us the grace that the fruit of regeneration will flourish and multiply in our lives. May our tears be tears of true repentance. May our hope be grounded slowly in your word. May our works be energized by your love. And may our faith endure to the end of time. We rest in the promise that none could ever snatch us out of your mighty hand. And may we feel the firmness of your grip on us. And may we reflect the passion of your love in all that we do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing our second song now. Jesus, draw me ever closer.
As I labor through the storm. Well, good morning. And push that down. I've seen Neil do that. It must be important, so put that down. We're going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to read two portions of Scripture this morning. And we're going to start with John chapter 10, verses 1 to 19. In fact, I'll read right through to 21. And then we're also going to look at Psalm 23. So if you want to look up Psalm 23, put your finger in there just to mark it, and then we'll turn to John 10. So it's page 1076 for the first reading and page 555 for the second reading in the Pew Bibles. The Shepherd and His Flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." At this, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" We turn to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We're going to continue to worship God as we collect the offering. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, we just thank you for all your provision and all your blessings. Forgive us, Lord, for taking things for granted sometimes. Lord, we just pray that you will take these gifts as part of our worship, that you will take them, that you will use them, that you will multiply them to build your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, the boys and girls would like to come up to the front for a few minutes. A little talk for you guys. Hope you're good at guessing games, are you? Yeah? Of course you are. Just bear with me for 1 minute. I have to go and get a big bag of stuff, okay? So just bear with me. Stick. I do have a stick, yeah. You're trying to work it out already, aren't you? Huh? Okay, before we start, we're going to ask a question. So, what do you want to be when you grow up? Any ideas? Batman. You want to be Batman? What could be better than to be Batman? Yes. Footballer, cool. Footballer as well. Lots of footballers. Anybody else? Footballer. An archaeologist. There's a man with brains. Hey, good man. Well done. Cool. Okay. Now, sometimes you can tell what people do by what they wear. Yeah? Okay, so this is where the guessing game comes in. So I'm going to put on different things, and I want you to guess what job a person would do if they were wearing these things, okay? So we'll start with the first one. So you'll have to shout out very loud, because I mightn't hear the answers, okay? Sorry? Did somebody say something? Oh, sorry. A builder, well, maybe. What else? Man cutting sticks, yeah, that's exactly right. If you were using a chainsaw, very dangerous bit of kit, lots of training needed, you'd be wearing this so you wouldn't bump your head. So chips of wood wouldn't go into your eyes, and these are to protect your ears, to keep the very noisy machine from damaging your ears. So a guy who's cutting down trees in a forest, or maybe he's working up in Mount Stewart, or maybe a tree surgeon. Have you seen those guys climbing up trees? They wear this sort of gear to keep them safe. So, okay. We've kind of had this one already. You'll get this one. What does this hat mean? Builder, you're right. Yeah. Bob the Builder, there you go. Yes, so a man or a woman who's wearing this on site, boom, that's it. It's all about safety on site, isn't it? Keeping your head safe, yeah. There's another one. What about this one? What would you be wearing if you wore that one? What would you be doing? Well, yes, okay. Yes, you could be on a punt in Cambridge, that's right. Yes, absolutely. Or maybe you worked in a posh butcher's. Yeah, sometimes butchers wear these sort of hats. Or maybe, I don't know, a waiter? Maybe, yeah, okay. Right, here's another one. Right, here we go. What about this? What job would you do if you wore that?
An army man.
An army man, yes, a soldier. Yeah, that's another one. And you'd need a gun. You would need a gun, yeah. That's to keep you safe, yeah? Okay. So there, that's right. Now, I want you to think a long time ago, right? Years ago, in Bible times, somebody who would have worn this stuff, what job would they be doing? Okay? Just give me a moment. Okay, what do we think?
Shepherd.
A shepherd, absolutely, a shepherd. Yeah, I quite like this actually. A shepherd. So, years ago, in very hot countries, they wore stuff like this to stop their heads from burning. I really need it because I've got no hair. Okay, so they wore this. That a tablecloth. Yeah, absolutely. And they had a special stick called a crook, yeah? And that was to keep the sheep safe, to fight away a lion or a bear. Or maybe if a little lamb was stuck, they could use this and they go and bring him to safety. Now, I really struggled this morning because I was looking around the house desperately to try and find a sheep. We don't have any sheep in our house. And then I remembered, we have a sheep in our house. So there's our sheep. Isn't that an amazing sheep? Do you like that sheep? No. You're going to like this sheep in a moment. Wait till you see what this sheep does. This is really exciting sheep. Look. Whoa. It's a tape measure. Is that cool? No. I think it's cool. I play with this for hours. It's brilliant. But this little sheep, okay, just reminds us of how small we are, yeah? So we're going to put this little sheep way over here, far, far away. And in the Bible, sometimes we're described as being sheep, okay? We're a long, long way from God because we make God very sad because we do sad things, we do bad things, yeah? And we're like that, we're way off out on our own. But there's an amazing verse in the Bible, and it says, we read it this morning, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Yeah? And that's really exciting. That's an amazing verse. I'm going to try and explain to you a little bit what that means. Because we're bad and we've made God sad, he doesn't want that because he loves us. Yeah? So, what happened? Well, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He laid down his life for us in our place. And when he died, 3 days later, he came back to life. And it's really great because he's alive today. Isn't that brilliant? So, when we realize we've made God very, very sad because we've done bad things, and if we're really, really sorry, and we say, I am sorry for doing bad things, and ask Jesus to come into our life, he'll come in. And we'll be so happy and full of joy, because then we'll be part of God's family. We'll be a happy sheep all together in heaven. So next time you're out in the car and you're driving around and you're looking out the window and you see sheep, you remember that little verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Okay? Good. Yes? Oh, no. Oh, it was a happy ending. Right, we're going to sing the children's song. He's got the whole world in his hands, and we're all going to be happy, and we're going to clap our hands because Jesus loves us. And then, maybe I'll do it now. There's lots of sheets here for you to color in and do cool stuff with. Okay, so we'll put them out there. You can all grab one on your way down. There's some more up here. Okay, and you can use those when I'm preaching, okay, because you might all fall asleep otherwise. So if you look at those and you can color in, and there's little competitions and stuff, and there'll be a little prize next week for the best one, okay? So there's something to look forward to, okay? So you grab those as you're going back, and we're going to sing this wonderful piece. He's got the whole world in his hands. And I'm going to take this off because I am sweltered, okay? We're just getting sorted here for a minute, but we're getting there. Okay, just grab pencils. Just as the kids are getting organized, a lot of people would say, you know, I've never seen that man well-dressed. I've never seen that man wear a tie in church. So there you are. You've seen the hair first, okay? Let's pray. So pray for others. Dear Father, you are the Prince of Peace and the great I Am. Thank you that you are our helper and redeemer. You have showered us with countless blessings. Thank you, Lord, that we live in peace. Help us not to take that for granted. Lord, we remember all those in the world who don't enjoy that privilege. Lord, we pray for all those who are striving to bring practical help, to bring the gospel into conflict situations, seeking to communicate your love, the message of the Prince of Peace. Lord, we pray for those in the security forces who find themselves in difficult situations. We pray also for those involved in difficult negotiations in the crisis in the Middle East. Give those people real wisdom. Lord, we also ask that with all the changes in government, that you will bless those in power, that as they serve, the politicians may realize that what power they have is ordained by you. Lord, help us to commit all our concerns to you, all the worries we have about change, Brexit, all of these things, we bring them to you. Lord, we pray for those who are ill at present. We pray for a real sense of your presence and that they will experience peace. Bless all those in the health service. Help them with all the pressures and challenges they face. Father, we ask that you will bless Neil, Ruth, Jack and Archie as they take a holiday. Thank you, Lord, for Neil's ministry, and we just pray that he will return to us refreshed. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have. We have freedom to read and to speak about you, to read your word. We thank you for that, Lord. We can worship you publicly without fear of persecution. Help us again, Lord, not to take that for granted. Help us to seize opportunities that you present to us, to be salt and light in whatever situation you put us in. Lord, we just pray that you will bless all those who do not enjoy such freedoms. Give them a real sense of your presence and peace as they are persecuted because of their love for you. Lord, now as we turn to your word, help us to put aside any distraction, to focus on you. And we pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The promises of Psalm 23. The burdens you were never intended to carry. Have you been away on holiday yet? Are you dreaming about a holiday? Are you really looking forward to going on holiday? I'm sure you can relate perhaps to this illustration. Picture a trolley at a terminal, say a ferry terminal or an airport, something like that, loaded high with all the stuff that we consider as important to take on holiday. Karen and I are on totally different ends of the scale. When it comes to packing and preparations, we are totally different. I am the one who's preparing weeks in advance. Little piles of essentials all around the house, building up as the time starts to get closer. Okay, so we're going away on a boat. So, you know, self-reliance is important. You have to plan ahead. But I tend to do that what-if scenario to extreme. We often go to the Wilds of Scotland. It's a sailing boat, so it's mainly a sailing boat. The clue is in the name. But it does have a little engine, so I might need a full range of spare parts. And well, you know, to be on the safe side, I better have some spare parts for the spare parts. You get the picture. Scotland in June, at least four fleeces. Come on, Alan, one is plenty. I hear this all the time, you know. I open the bag when I come home, and there you are. There's two or three fleeces folded up neatly in the bottom of the bag. I look at Karen's bag, and I always say the same thing. Are you sure you've enough stuff with you? Back to the overloaded trolley of luggage. I suggest to you it's a metaphor for the way we live our lives. It's so easy to load that trolley with heavy stuff. Burdens we lug about with as we live our lives. Let's have a little look what might be on that trolley. A heavy suitcase full of guilt. an even heavier bag full of grief. A rucksack stuffed with discontent. A backpack full of doubt. An overnight bag stuffed full of loneliness. A shoulder bag full of poor self-image. A big trunk full of fear. No wonder we're tired at the end of the day, lugging all that stuff about. I'm sure if I asked most folk here, could they recite Psalm 23? I reckon most folk could do it. It's a wonderfully familiar piece of scripture. But to understand the promises, comforts, reassurances, and blessings contained in this short psalm, we need to slow down and ask God's help to discover all that he have for us. Our time this morning is short. You'd maybe be relieved to hear that. We're not going to have time to maybe scratch the surface of the truths and blessings contained in Psalm 23. And we're just going to have a little look at three possible burdens this morning. The first burden we've already looked at, in a sense, and I'm sure we can all relate to it. The title is The Burden of the Luggage of Life. Psalm 23, written by King David, is a beautiful piece of poetry, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has and will continue to give peace to countless people at times of stress in their lives, often used in ministry to bring comfort to people when grieving at times of bereavement. The 23rd Psalm is one of God's amazing reminders in his word of his love and care for us. To fully experience what God wants for us, we must release the burdens that we were never intended to bear. The promise in Psalm 23 can only be fully experienced if we bring all the burdens to Jesus and lay them at the foot of the cross, to be overwhelmed with what Jesus did for us when he died, the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for our sin. We need to bring all the luggage, all those burdens that weigh us down, to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But in our fallen state of humanity, we are so guilty of enjoying that peace and joy, that wonderful release from the weight of a burden. We enjoy it for a while, but very soon we start loading up that trolley again, that trolley of our busy lives. We take those burdens back from Jesus. But if we do slip back to that point, we can give those burdens back. We can go to the cross and lay our burdens at the foot of the cross. Then we can fully appreciate the blessings in Psalm 23. I'm going to read the psalm again, if you bear with me. But I want you to notice something that really struck me, and it was very powerful for me. How personal this psalm is. You look at how many times the words me, I, and my are repeated. It is powerful. This psalm is for each and every one of us. This psalm is for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God wants us to fully experience having our souls refreshed. So just leave those burdens with Jesus. The second burden we're going to have a little look at is the burden of a lesser God. Are we carrying all this stuff of life whilst worshipping a false God? The God we're actually worshipping is the God of money or power or striving to build our careers or whatever you wish to name anything which shifts our focus from God, from Yahweh, shifts our focus from I am, from God, the loving creator. But the devil is very clever here. We can even slip into that dangerous domain of rebelling against God while showing an outward religious guise. We can attend church. We can roll along. But we're not giving all to God. Often our vision of God is not clear. We turn to God at times of crisis. But when things are okay, well, we kind of just slip back. Our prayer life is crisis-driven. Consequently, we're up and down. J.B. Phillips wrote a book years ago, and it sums up what we are considering here. The book is called Your God is Too Small. Have we even begun to understand how all-powerful God is? It's difficult for our finite minds to comprehend an infinite, all-powerful God. We struggle for words to describe Almighty God. But in his love and in his provision, he has given us his word to study, to receive instruction, guidance, to read wonderful descriptions of God's holiness and awesome power. The Psalms will help us in this. We only have to turn over to the next Psalm, and it reads, the first part, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." Wonderful description of God's power. The word shepherd is often used in Scripture and in other writings at that time to represent royalty and kingship. So if we look back to Psalm 23, and the opening verse declares, "The Lord is my shepherd." The all-powerful creator of all is my shepherd. Wow, does that excite you? It's important for us to spend time in corporate worship and prayer, to spend time with God, reading His Word, time in prayer, practicing the presence of God, to start to grasp all that God has for us. And finally, the last burden I'm going to have a little look at is the burden of self-reliance. Just to qualify that, I'm not talking about being self-reliant in the sense of being a good planner or a good leader, a strong leader. You know, being prepared in the business field is a good quality. Although it has to be said, in most situations, to be a good team player is often more effective. Now, I'm talking about self-reliance in the spiritual dimension, being at a point where we say to ourselves, or we're deluded in some way, that we don't need God. I will do it my way. Sorry to disappoint. No renditions of Frank Sinatra here. But just some phrases that might just trigger something with you. You might resonate with these. I will do it my way. I am all over this situation. I have experience in these matters. What can possibly go wrong? Do they resonate with you? They do with me. Can you look back at situations you found yourself in and attempted to go it alone? Perhaps it all went well. It was a good outcome. But what about the next time? Or the time after that? Or what about if there is no time? There's no time left. What then? What use is self-reliance when we are facing our Maker? When Jesus, the great shepherd, is separating the sheep, his children, those who have asked Jesus to be Lord of their lives, from the goats, those who have rejected him, those folk who will hear those terrifying words in Matthew 7, verse 23, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There is no middle ground here. There is no fence to sit on. We have to make a decision one way or another. There's no room for self-reliance. We have to accept in faith the gospel and experience grace. How we are loved unconditionally. We can come to Jesus because, as Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. If you feel God is speaking to you, or if you're questioning, talk to somebody. The prayer team are always available after the service. Don't put it off. But the burden of self-reliance is also a huge problem for those who are saved. Yes, we have been saved from an eternity without God, but we're missing out on real joy, purpose, and blessings which our Heavenly Father wants to shower us with. When we can soak ourselves in the presence of God, when we can turn to His Word, when we have a vibrant prayer life, when we leave the burden of self-reliance at the cross and leave it there, then it will transform your walk with the Lord as you live your life day to day. It is my prayer that you will experience the reassurance and blessing of Psalm 23, and that the words in verse 6 will be a reality for you. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We're going to sing Psalm 23, a wonderful contemporary piece, I Will Trust in You Alone. So Psalm 23. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.